Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, two children witness an unexplained light coming from their closet late at night. But who or what was causing it?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Of course, you can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you'd like to, we'd greatly appreciate it if you'd support our program. Become an extra podcast person, an EPP as we call them. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. You do that, get access to all of our bonus episodes, EPP bonus episodes, new ones every single week, our archive of episodes, the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories, and you also get our ebook, our audio book, and there's a whole lot more for you there as well. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Tony and Carol with you on today's episode of the program. What's going on?
Well, you know, you and I were just talking before we started this episode about the world today and how batshit crazy it is. Like, everything seems batshit crazy. You know, and when you have, like, becoming an EPP for $5 a month, you could kind of get away from all of that. And it's like, it's kind of nice to listen to stories like this and not have to worry about all that other shit in the world.
Yeah.
And just focus on the paranormal, which is kind of weird.
Yeah.
It's like, this to me feels like a normal conversation. Mm-hmm. When you and I were just talking about all the crazy things in the world.
I know.
So it's a nice escape from that, you know?
It is. And somehow we're in bizarro land. The tables have turned to that's the way it is now.
It's like, I swear every day it gets crazier.
I know.
But yeah, so I like, for $5 a month and you can get access to all of it.
Mm-hmm.
Money well spent.
You can just sit there and binge away for. I think I've tried to figure out how many days or months it would take to listen to all the episodes, and I think you're into several months now, as if you listen 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and tried to play them all back to back. So there you go. You got a lot to catch up on if you'd like.
I had somebody message me on Instagram or Facebook, yeah. I don't remember. And she was like, I'm almost caught up on all of the episodes. And I'm like, all?
Really? Yeah.
Capital A-L-L, like.
Yeah.
And she goes, yeah, actually, I am. I'm like,
that's funny.
That's impressive.
That is impressive. And well, we should have
should
like
be an award, yeah. An award for that.
It's like a book it pin. You get like a little star, then go get like a free personal pan pizza.
At the library when you would fill up your card. Like, I read all of the books.
Exactly.
Oh, here's your personal pan pizza.
Exactly. Congratulations. You've listened to like you've spent more than several months of your life just listening to me talk. Here's a free personal pan pizza.
And a bunk bed bell.
And a bunk bed bell. And you get this lovely pin. Commemorative pin. Collect all one.
Funny. Just take this quiz to prove it.
Yeah. Oh God. The thing is, I would fail the test worse than anybody. And I was the one who read all the damn stories. I'll be the one that's like,
people will say, and the episode title, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, what's that one?
Yeah. I just kind of like, I don't know. I don't, unless I can go back and listen to it. And even then I probably have to like listen to the story from start to finish again to really remember the details. Just because there's just so many.
So many of them.
Yeah. Let's go to our first one for today. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. It says, where to start? My aunt and uncle inherited a house. It was an old house that had been turned into a duplex at some point. The house had been through a terrible flood. It was in a small town in West Virginia that had seen Civil War battles, and many wakes had taken place there. It was creepy, to say the least. It wasn't in good repair. That only added to the creepy factor. Some of the walls did not have drywall, mostly just insulation showing. I always hated staying the night there. This is problematic because my only female cousin, who was only 14 months older than me, was my best friend. This meant I spent many nights sleeping with my head under the blanket. A lot of things would happen in that house, but I'm going to leave more stories for later. One night when I was a small child, maybe 9 years old, I was spending the night with my cousin. Her room was in addition to the house. There was no window, just drywall on three walls and exposed insulation on the fourth. We're lying in bed giggling about random stuff. Still a pattern for us. When together, we can find humor in almost anything. Anyway, we were lying in bed when there was a bright light in the corner of the room. It was near the ceiling and the light was pulsing. I immediately covered my head, as did my cousin. The light was so bright you could see it through the blanket. Remember, there's no windows in this room. We had no light on. It was impossible for a light to be there. My cousin asked me if I was seeing that. I responded by saying I didn't see it if she didn't see it. She sat up in bed and yelled for it to go away, and suddenly, the light disappeared. We huddled closer together in the bed, both of us on the verge of tears. Then something began to pull the blanket under the bed. You could say the blanket was slipping off the bed, except when we pulled the blanket, something pulled back. It pulled back so hard the blanket was ripped from our hands and pulled to the floor. We both screamed in terror, afraid to set foot on the floor. My uncle came running into the room and flipped on the light. The blanket was halfway under the bed, but it was no longer moving. There were no pets. There were toys stored under the bed. It was a day bed, so it wasn't that big. My uncle suggested that we were dreaming, and the blanket just fell to the floor. We insisted that is not what took place. He conceded and let us sleep in the living room that night. It was a long time before I was brave enough to spend the night again. 30 years later, and my cousin will not sleep in if any part of the bed is hanging over the edge of the bed. I have more stories of that house, and some that aren't about the house, just weird. Some are about hearing constant whispering, waking up to people standing by the bed, objects flying out of a closet, a great aunt with a gift, and the fact that I can tell the gender of a baby before tests can confirm it. Thanks for listening. So, yeah, that I think is like it plays at like every childhood fear with the blanket being pulled and tugged and then just completely ripped off.
Oh, God, no shit. I mean, that's scary. And you know when that happens.
Yeah. I know.
I can't, like, can you fall asleep, like, with your hand hanging over the bed or your foot out of the covers?
I don't like doing that.
I can't. Like, I cannot. Like just have my hand just hanging out over the bed. I don't know why, like, it could hang out on the bed.
Yeah.
But I can't have my feet uncovered. It's just weird.
I don't like my hands, like that space between the top of the bed and like the headboard or the wall or whatever either. I don't like putting my hands over that either. I store clean.
I don't either.
I store tissues there, but I it's like if I need it, like in the middle of the night, I know I can find one up there. I call it my nest. Or actually, my mother would call it my nest when I was a kid, and she'd like change the sheets on my bed. Your damn nest of tissues up there. But that because I have so
I washed them again.
Yeah, because I had horrible allergies growing up because we had a cat and I'm allergic to cats. But we didn't know I was allergic to cats till after I left and dated someone who had a cat, then discovered again the magic of cat allergies. But I had a lot of tissues.
And now it's like, is it cat allergies or is it COVID?
Exactly. Cat allergies or COVID? That's a new game show coming to ABC hosted by D.L. Hughley.
You could host it.
Cat allergies or COVID?
Yeah. We're bringing in cat number one.
How would this game work?
Now we're bringing in this really smelly thing. Can you smell it? No, you have COVID.
You have to inhale different things. And it's like, okay, which one do you want to inhale? Do you want to inhale the blue towel or the pink towel? Which one will it be? And then they
one has
it.
Cat hair.
One is cat hair. One has COVID. Oh, God.
But, you know, speaking of cats and weird lights in your bedroom, the other night, my old cat is 20, mm-hmm. old Bob, and I have to leave a little bit of cat food, the moist kind, on my nightstand at night because he comes in and wants to eat, and it's just easier to hand it to him than get up and make him food. And at 20 years old, the guy gets to eat whenever he wants to.
Yeah.
So he gets up, and I just reach over. I don't even think I open my eyes, and I handed him the food, and he's eating the food. And I don't know, if he meowed or my other cat got up there, whatever. But anyway, I looked up and I'm like, oh my God, he's glowing. Like there's this glowing light. And I'm like, oh my God, oh my God. And then I'm like, oh, it's my Kindle that's plugged in. And the way my Kindle was plugged in, like I couldn't see it, but it was shooting a green light out. Mm-hmm. And so I, honest to God, I'm like, oh my God, my cat is glowing. There's glowing light on my cat. I'm freaking out. And it's my Kindle. So well, I felt better once I figured out what it was.
Maybe a moment, maybe the cat was like, you know, is it the ghost of the cat, or is the cat like secretly like
some radioactive? Sort of, yeah, I don't know.
So many possibilities: radioactive, demonic, holy. It's like an angel cat at night. It goes and heals things and glows. Like,
right? I don't know, but it was the funniest thing because I'm like, I don't know. Like, I guess it got charged up, and I've never noticed that my cat glows, or maybe he was just in the right spot on the bed that he was glowing. But it looked like it was just surrounded by this green light. Like he was just like, it was a spotlight on him.
That's funny.
Oh, anyway. So he wasn't glowing. He's not radioactive. He's just old.
That's funny. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here. At Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to another letter. It says, in 2009, I was in a foster care home with my siblings. It was five of us, four sisters, one brother, with all the girls being in one big room and three bunk bed sets. Where's the bell?
Ding!
Harper always has it over on her side. Yeah, there it is. Because she likes to ding it. So there we go. My brother was in a room with other boys his age. They consider this a group home. It was the oldest. The bunk bed I was in was in front of the window, but also facing the closet. The closet was a pretty good walk-in size. The other two bunk beds were close to the walls by the door. All the rooms were upstairs. Ours was on the top of the garage. There were nights where we'd hear things, but I tried to think nothing of it. I tried not to think of scary things. It was a night I would never forget. Slept on the top bunk bed. My baby sister on the bottom. My other two sisters didn't want to sleep close to the closet, so they chose the bunk bed close to the door. Sometimes my baby sister would ask me to sleep in hers because she kept seeing a shadow or hard whispering in the closet. I try not to scare myself or think of anything else, so I just say it's okay. It's just our imagination. I was really hoping it was. One night I kept hearing voices, and I thought it was the other kids in the other rooms in the home. I held my cover tight while my face faced the wall. A few minutes passed, I fell back asleep, woke up to someone tapping on my shoulder and telling me if I can come lay down with her. It sounded like my baby sister. I told her to just come lay with me. I was too tired to move. She then tapped me hard, shoved my shoulder as if she was mad at me, quickly turned around telling her to stop. No one was there. They were all asleep. I then looked towards the closet and saw clothes softly moving, and I felt I was being watched. I was now scared even more, trying so hard not to believe what I experienced. For the rest of the night, I prayed till I fell asleep again. I told my sisters and brother about it, and they told me it's been happening a lot to them. I tried bringing up this conversation to our foster parents' biological children. She had a boy and a girl that came from Nigeria. The daughter later told me that day that her dad's sisters were into witchcraft. Their mom lost her first child because of it. She said her mom still talks about her being cursed because she feels it. I've not seen or spoke to them ever since we all moved from their home. I have more stories from other experiences with this lady. I'm happy we left her home. Thank you for reading and sharing. I am a new subscriber. There you go.
Man, this story makes me sad because not only do they, I mean, how hard would it be? It's not even fair. Like, they have to go into a foster home situation, which has to be traumatizing. Sure. And then you're doubly traumatized while you're there. Mm-hmm. Like that, nothing about that's fair.
No.
That one just pisses me off.
No, not
it's
at
like,
all.
Like, give those poor kids a break.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, I mean, at least they had a foster home to go to. Sure. I don't know, but it just makes me sad.
Thank you for sharing that story with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, Tony. It's Ashley again. This is like the third time I've called. Like, I'm on a roll, right? So, I wanted to, I have my girlfriend's permission, but I wanted to give you a few stories about my girlfriend. And disclaimer, this is not to pontificate or to preach. This is just what works for her and her family and me, because we're both African-American, raised in a church. We don't go anymore because of ostracization and being shunned. But yeah, that's a disclaimer. This is just a story. Take it how you will. And yeah. So, girlfriend grew up in a household in Florida where casting out demons was the norm. Yep, we're getting into it. Now, her mother is a, oh gosh, she's like a, well, she grew up, you know, speaking in tongues and casting out demons and things like that. And so because of that, and because my girlfriend has to go to church, like, oh my God, like 7 days a week sometimes and like spend hours and hours and hours, she was exposed to that, and I think, in my opinion, that affected her. So her mother can see demons, smell demons. She can hear them. Lex can hear them, too. Like, when they're casting out demons and the person's screaming, like, you can, they can hear, like, growling and stuff. Her mother can also see, like, this is almost like ectoplasm. Like, you ever seen, like, those old, like from the 1900s or whatever, or 1930s, I guess, where people had like the ectoplasmic goo coming out of their mouth. Well, her mother can see that. And she says it looks like black coffee grinds. And I guess for everyone else, it just looks like spittums. I don't know. It's a thing. Also, her mother can see demons, like their dark shadow figures with red eyes. So that's often, that's like what people see in their bedrooms as well, like when they have sleep paralysis. And Lex has had these experiences as well herself, because I mean, she was exposed to that, and she was just around it, you know. So like, how can you not be affected by that, especially when you're in the room and they're doing the exorcism and they're speaking in tongues and you're getting afraid and your mom says, well, you better pray so they don't get you too. Like what the fuck is that, right? Not to shun like her upbringing, but it's just not how we are going to bring our kids up, right? So with that being said, Lex has had some weird experiences. She was 17. She went to college early, and she was living on campus. I don't blame her because, you know, she wanted to get out of the environment. But she was in her room sleeping, and it was a single bed. Well, single bed, not bunk beds, not in this story, but a single bed. And her roommate was, she did have a roommate, and her roommate was sleeping on the other side of the room, right? So Lex is sleeping on her back, and next thing you know, she can't move. And she's like, what is this, right? And so she can move her eyes. And so she looks down, and somewhere near the foot of her bed, Tony, a shadow person is rising up from the goddamn fucking floor. It was just blacker than night, like someone cut out, you know, the reverse there. It was blacker than black, no red eyes. I don't think there was any growling or anything. But yeah, there's a shadow figure rising up from near the foot of her bed. And she's like, oh, shit. Now, mind you, she's looking, you know, left and right, you know, trying to see if she can, like, get her roommate to rouse or to wake. But as she's looking left to right, Tony, she sees two more shadow figures rising from the foot of her goddamn fucking bed coming up. So it's almost like they have, like, a demonic trinity of shadow figures that are, like, surrounding her. So there's one at the foot of her bed, and the other two, one is at, like, diagonal, like, left side of the bed and diagonal right side of the bed, right? And so they're raising up slowly. And this is what she told me. Now, she told me this while we were in bed. And I was like, honey, you couldn't fucking wait until, like, I don't know, never to tell me this. Anyway, so they're raising up from the foot of her fucking bed. And she says they're slowly trying to come towards her. Like, they're gliding fucking towards her, right? And so because she was raised in a Christian home, she says that she was screaming, Jesus, Jesus. And that's what she said she was screaming. Now, I don't know if that was, like, internally or out loud, but she said that her roommate didn't hear her, as is normally the case when you have sleep paralysis, right? Like, the other person just knocked dead the fuck out, right? Shadow people got jokes. And so she sees them. She can't move. And so they start rising up. They come closer to the bed. And she says, Jesus! And while she said, and when she said that, they jumped back. It's almost like lightning, like, boom, like they jumped back. And then they tried again. They slowly start coming towards your bed, all three of them together. And then she screams, Jesus, and then they jump back. And it was like they're keep doing that and keep doing that. Keep trying to get close to her and touch her. And they almost get to, like, her feet where they can touch her, and they don't. Like, she just says, Jesus, 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 Jesus. And then they eventually go away. So with that happened, with that having had happened, she no longer sleeps on her back anymore, which is to be expected, as many people who have had sleep paralysis happen and now do. So a few nights later, she starts sleeping on her side, you know, because fuck that back shit. She starts sleeping on her side, and she said, next thing you know, I felt a hand pressing on the side of my face and pressing my head into the pillow. And at that point, she's just like, you guys, I have an exam tomorrow. Like she's like over it, you know, like she's, I guess like the first time it was frightening, but because like she knew like how to, I guess, fight them off, and because it happened before, and because she just, you know, she had shit to do. She was a freshman, you know, she was just like, stop it. And I guess like they eventually left her alone. Now, that was when she was 17. Another thing that happened, I want to take it back, right, happened when she was about 12 or 13. And it happened at camp, and there were some bunk beds. Ding, ding. Or kind of. Anyway, so in true camp fashion, it was sleepaway camp. And it was, you know, a bunch of, like, little camping, I don't know, things, houses, cabins all together in the woods. However, because why the fuck not, the restroom was located outside of the camp down a path in the fucking woods. So because of that, and because Lex had been, you know, exposed to demonic, creepy shit all her life, she made sure that when she went to sleep at night, she used the restroom first, put on her pajamas, and got in her bunk bed. She was top bunk. She didn't, and so she made sure that she used the restroom so she wouldn't have to get up in the middle of the night to go to the restroom, because who the fuck wants to do that? Like what is this? Like Halloween or something? Like a slasher flick, right? So the next morning, she gets up, and her friend, or one of the girls at the camp, says, you know, you're really rude. I saw you in the restroom, and I was, like, trying to say hello to you, and all you did was just stand there and stare at me. And my girlfriend's like, what? I didn't go to the restroom last night. And the girl's like, yeah, yes, you did. I saw you there. You were standing there, and I spoke to you, and you didn't say anything. Like, why are you so rude? And my girlfriend says, okay, wait, if that was me, what was I wearing? And the girl was like, well, you were wearing yellow Tweety Bird pajamas. My girlfriend says, look at me. Look at what I'm wearing. I'm wearing blue Tweety Bird pajamas. Do you really think I'd get up in the middle of the night, change into the exact same pajamas but in a different color, and then walk into the woods to go pee? And my girl, because what the fuck do you do with that information at 12, right? You know? So, yeah, that was a doppelganger story for you. So, weird things happens with my girlfriend, and now that we're together, like, weird things keep happening. But we brush it off, like, la-di-da-di-da, didn't hear that. What? Nope, didn't feel that. Ha-ha-ha. And we live our life in a happy cloud of knowledgeable cognitive dissonance, I guess. Anyway, hope you can use this. Love the show. Keep up the good work. Appreciate y'all. Toodaloo.
Thank you for those stories.
I love her.
She's great.
I want to hang out. Like, she's somebody you'd be fun to go have a beer with.
Yeah, she would be.
And just talk. Because, like, I think my favorite line on this entire show of all the episodes that I've been on, then a shout over as it came out of the goddamn fucking floor.
Yes, it did.
Like, when the shadow people came back again, she's like, I have a test.
Yeah.
Leave me alone.
Fuck
like
off.
I loved that.
Yeah.
But I think there's this weird, you know, the whole religion thing when she was really young. You know, there's this, like, I've seen video of those people speaking in tongues and, like, you know, if someone's not doing what they consider to be normal behavior, then obviously there's some kind of possession or something, and we've got to get it out of them.
Yeah.
And, like, it's terrifying.
It's frightening.
If you're a child, like, that would be terrifying.
I cannot imagine.
And so if you're doing that in the name of the Lord and you're calling all this stuff, what are you really calling? Because then you see the, like, and it looks legit. I assume it is, because I've talked to people who've, well, like that woman growing up in something like that. But I've actually had conversations with people. And it's like, if they think that you have a demon in you or there's something evil in you that they have to get out, like maybe you're gay, so you're evil and they got to get it out. What kind of energy is that creating around you? You know, like if they're calling weird, you know, like are they calling, are they inviting other things in?
Yeah, I mean, I think sometimes invite. That's what happens. I mean, I think there's so many times where there's these individuals that are projected as this, you know, crusader for whatever fucking cause.
In the name of the Lord. Yeah.
And they bastardize it so much that at the end of the day, it's like, well, did you end up actually causing more harm than good? Because really, what at the end of the day, what you're doing was extremely negative and harmful to people.
And it just seems dangerous to be like, you know, everybody's got their hands on you and they're screaming. And then, you know, it's just this manic sort of thing because then, you know, these people get into it too.
Yeah.
And everybody's talking in tongues and weird shit.
Yeah.
Like that almost seems like a demonic possession.
I know. I mean, I don't get it.
There's a fine line between I'm talking in tongues for the Lord or I'm possessed by the devil, because there's Reagan in The Exorcist. What was she doing?
Yeah.
You know, was that talking in tongues or is that demonic possession? What is what?
That of the snake handlers.
That's really deep. But you know what I'm saying? It's like, what's the real difference between those two scenarios?
I don't know. I do not know, because I've never done it. I've never been in it. Well, actually, I've been in a couple places where I think some people were kind of doing it, but I've never been to like the, you know, I guess smaller, you know, church or something to see it where it's like really evident, because there's like, you know, 40 people in the room. I've just kind of like seen it here and there at like some of those mega churches, you know, that we attend over the years. You know, a friend wants you to go here, there, whatever. And it's that to me was kind of just, I don't know. I get unsettled by that.
I've only really seen it on TV when they're doing some kind of show about it, but I have talked to people and it's like, so they're so moved by the spirit of the Lord that they start talking in tongues.
Now, yeah, I'm not saying that it can't happen, and I'm not slamming the religion or anything, but what I have noticed in some of the places that I've been to, the ones that tend to be really going I guess vocal on it and really get into it, they also tend to be the people that you can tell they just want to get attention by the way they may be dressed that day or this or that. Or if you know who the person actually is, you're like, oh my God, this is like the biggest attention seeking person in the world. No wonder they love doing this. So
I can see that.
I think there's
And I also think a lot of them, though, they're really, really strict and they want everyone to adhere to their belief system. And so if you seem to be stepping out of that line, then there's something wrong with you.
Well, and I guess if it's something that is in your, you know, you're brought up and this is what you see from childhood, and you just, they're like, you kind of start emulating it when you're a kid because you see everybody else doing it. So naturally kids are going to start pretending, I don't want to say pretending, but they're going to start emulating the adults in the room.
There's no way around that.
And then over the years, you grow older and older and older. And how much of it is... Again, I'm not knocking religion here, but my question would be, when you have generation after generation after generation doing this, how much of that is just simply you are repeating, you know, behavior over and over that basically gives you a high because you started emulating it before you even knew what it was? And now your body produces the serotonin at that moment because you're going through these steps of something that you've known ever since you can remember, you know, kind of like Pavlovian dog type thing, you know, ring the bell, the dog salivates, you know, you're at the setting of this religious experience and everybody starts doing this. You get that, I guess, because it's ingrained in you or programmed into you as this positive thing. So I think,
or could it also be the opposite and have allowed other things to enter in for this woman who has dealt with this shit her whole life.
I mean,
I don't know. I'm not saying they're connected. She might have a better insight on that.
I don't know.
But obviously, I'm just riffing here. But I just think that, it just seems maybe there's a connection between the way she was brought up and then shadow people coming out of the goddamn fucking floor. I love that line. I get it.
That
like,
was great.
Every time somebody says shadow person.
Shadow person's coming out of the goddamn fucking floor.
Fucking floor. I loved her.
And she's called. She has a couple of other calls here in queue that we'll play back soon, too. She's great. All right. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. $5 a month gets you access to the EPP bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and more. Until next time, for Carol and Tony, thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.